Okay, you're right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This year, of course, you'll see the substance of this year is going to be dedicated to the three young men who have been abducted. What a profound tragedy. Well, anyway. But in advance of that, I got a letter from somebody, just yesterday I got it, responding to something that I had on the internet about 2 months ago. And really, I think it's a total of 14 points. Let me see, is it? No, it's 12, I'm sorry. 12 points. And the 12 points are basically that this place, this country, this government, it's such a rotten, bad place. So, my response to this fellow is going to be, if you can write a list of 12 good things about the country, then I see that you're a balanced individual. You know, 12 great things about the country, 10 terrible things about the country. So that means we have something to talk about. It means that, it may very well be, and through many periods of history, that light and darkness inhabit the same sphere at the same time. There are wonderful things happening over here. There are other unsavory things that happen. Then, of course, we'd have to weigh. Are the 12 bad things, that they outweigh the 12 good? Or are the 12 good so awesome that the 12 bad simply pale into absolute insignificance? So my homework to you is, during the course of the week, spend a few minutes thinking and write down for me two or three ideas or feelings or things, you know, the word things includes everything, that's great about this country. How do you like that? So in other words, come back next week, we'll have about 200 great things about this country. Will you do that homework for me? Now, if you don't do your homework, well, we're not even going to talk about that. That's too horrible to even consider. So do me a favor. What do you think, you know, did you have an experience, for example, where a policeman, Bushett, went out of his way and really helped you? Did you have a story of a medical team that were moser nefesh in order to save a life? When it comes to the army, very few armies have Roy Kleins. Okay, we have our great, great heroes. So just think about the nice things. 1 week, you have to think about the nice things and write them down, and this is your homework, and I would appreciate anybody who does the homework and hands it in to me. I want it to be typed, double-spaced. You can scribble it on an anything. Yes? Oh, I didn't hear. Who said what?
I did. Capital letters and small letters.
Whatever you want. Is that?
We just wanted to know.
All right. Okay. Number one. I'll tell you what it is. Parashat Chukah is a parasha that so much happens. The 40 years come to an end. Miriam dies. Aaron dies. The Jews begin their march toward Eretz Yisrael. Edom, Sichon, Moab.
the law of Torah Duma. Just about the last law in Torah, Torah Duma.
There's so much happening. Then there are 9 psukim. I want to learn 9 psukim. The 9 psukim are 2 stories. One story takes 3 psukim, and the other story takes 6 psukim. And one is absolute brilliant light, and the other already is a shade of real, real darkness. Because that's what life is. Life isn't always brilliant sunshine. There are clouds also in life. And here in the history of the Jewish people, just at about the same time, and in the Torah, the 2 stories are back to back. One is a brilliant outburst on the part of the people, and the second is a period in which they fail miserably. Enough said, let's learn. That top sentence should be, Vayish, well you have it in the English, Vayish Mahaknani Melech Adad, Yoshev HaNegev, Vayishma HaKnani, the Knani, the king of Arad, who lives in the Negev of Eretz Yisrael, heard, Kibor Yisrael Derech HaAtarim, that Israel had come by the route that the spies had taken. They're on their way to Eretz Yisrael, Vayilachem BeYisrael, and he waged war with Israel. Chazal omrim shehaknani hazeh zahiyah Amalek. Amalek waged war with the Jewish people when they came out of Mitzrayim, and Amalek attacks again. This time, he attacks when they are poised to enter Eretz Yisrael. Vayish mimenu shevi, and they took a captive. Rashi says from Chazal, Shifcha Achas, a maid servant. One person was taken hostage, one prisoner. Chances are she wasn't even Jewish. And the response of the people is instant, overwhelming, powerful. Vayida Yisrael Nedar Hashem, Israel made a vow to God by Yomah. The Jewish people, what's fascinating, of course, is they haven't even turned to their leader, Moshe. Moshe does not appear in this story of 3 psukim. It's spontaneous and arises from the people. They took a captive from us. All of Klal Yisrael stands up. And they made a vow. Im Naton Titein Et Ha'am Hazeh B'Yadi, if you will give this people into my hand, and we'll get that shivcha back. V'acharamti et areim, I will destroy, or means I will make their cities holy. I don't want their cities. We will give whatever is there. We will give it to the Mishkan, to the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, the Jewish people without Moshe, they didn't want to say, Rebbeleib and Moshe, what should we do? This was such a groundswell from the people. God, give them into our hands. Awesome. And then God's response is it's unbelievable. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. God listened to the voice of Israel. I have on a number of occasions in the last number of years, in the 20, 30 last years, told you the Malbim. The Malbim says that we have sometimes it says b'kol, and sometimes it says l'kol. For example, when Sarah is upset with Hagar and she wants Hagar cast out of the house, so Avram is very upset. So God tells Avram, Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema B'kolah. Everything that Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Do exactly what she said. Sometimes what's written is the word l'kol. For example, Yitro comes and gives advice to Moshe. He sees Moshe standing and judging the people all alone. So he tells him, you can't do it. You got to set up a system of judges, higher courts, lower courts, Supreme Court. You can't do it alone. So it says over there, by Yishma Moshe, Moshe listened l'kol kolno, to the voice of his father-in-law, which means the idea was good, but the details, he's gonna do it his own way, not the way he told it. Over here it says, by Yishma Hashem, b'kol Yisrael, exactly what they wanted. He listens instantly. You know, we're not talking about prayer that may or may not be answered, and it may take who knows how long. It's instant. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. Vayitin et haknani, and he gave the Knani into their hands. Vayacharein et hemet oreim, and he destroyed them and their cities. Vayikra shem amakom Chorma, they called the name of the place Chorma. What a story. What an unbelievable story. But there's a great deal more to the story. And if you want to know the great deal more to the story, then we're going to have to turn slightly to the left. The left is a Meshech Chochma. I know you will accuse me of repeating myself. It's the greatest Meshech Chochma in Chumash. Now, of course, I think I've said that about every Meshech Chochma I've learned with you. But let's say the following. Every Meshech Chochma is great, and this is the greatest of them all. Listen. Vayita Yisrael Neda, Israel made a vow. If you give this people into my hands, what do they mean, give them into my hands? So it says, Perush. We have to read this as it is, as we read it. Until this point in time, the Jewish people were led through God by miracles. By miracles. Hamitzrim nidvu, they're caught on the Yam Suf. God drowns the Egyptians. The Chayotze B'zeh. And similar, and wherever they went, God is with them. It's an act of God, their victories, whatever they do. God forbid the Jews would veer slightly from the correct way. Oh, they would feel it. They would immediately know that God is angry with them. V'im chalila notu ma'ak miderech ha'yosha miyad ha'im mushpalim u'menutzachim. They would be cast down and they would be vanquished. Everything is happening in a clear, miraculous fashion. U'kben shasomach al shulchan aviv. They were like a son who's dependent on his father. Shemayatzmo eni yodea derech l'parnos also. He doesn't know how to make a living. The poor kid is being supported by his father. And for some strange reason, these kids keep growing older and older, and they're still being supported by their fathers. I don't know. My father stopped supporting me about 60 years ago. All right? Anyway, so their relationship with God was a relationship of, we're completely dependent on Him. Being so totally dependent on God is not a source of honor for a nation.
You hear what he's saying? I mean, in a previous time, somebody else would have said it, you understand? They'd say, Shaygat! Kaifa Behinga! No, no, no. The Shachachma doesn't get Shaygat. It's not an honor for the nation. Gam Tomi Belima Noach, it also means that you're constantly without rest. You don't know what's going to happen at any minute. Everything, you know, one wrong move, it's not good. Shekasha Roa, King Estabu, Anonim. The parasha immediately preceding this story is the death of Aaron. And the Gemara explains, and you can see it from the Pesukim. Why did the Kenani king of Arad attack at this moment? Because when Aaron HaKohen died, the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, disappeared. All of a sudden, the Jewish people are, in a sense, now open, unprotected. So here they feel it strongly. Shekasher Roa, King Estalko Ha'anonim, when the Goyim saw that the cloud of glory had been removed, Miyad Bol Hilachim, immediately came to wage war. Lochem Bitchu, therefore, you know what the Jewish people are asking? The Jewish people are asking, Shayasa Hashem Chesed, God should do them the kindness. You know what kindness they want? God, let us win this battle on our own. We want to be able to be seen by the nations of the world as a strong, a powerful, a mighty, a determined people. Sheyasa Hashem Chesed, God should do a kindness. She natzdu bemarachot ha'olchama ha'tivit, that they should win in the course of natural battle. V'yidro le'enei ha'am, so that they will be seen in the eyes of the nations. Shegibor beyond krav, like a mighty warrior on the day of battle. V'zeh, that's what they meant when they said, Im natom titen et ha'am hazeh biyod. If you will give this people into my hands, meaning in my hands, b'darko shemulchama tivit, in the manner of normal as war can be, but normal without perceptible divine intervention. We know that in the background, the Levitical is always there. But they want to be seen by the nations of the world as a powerful and a strong army. Nothing to get shook up about. We have a strong army, Baruch Hashem. We have a strong army. Something to be proud of, according to the Meshech Chachma. Ukumo, and he gives another example. Just as it is sweet, somebody who's raised in the home of a king, a prince, you know what the sweetest thing to him is? The first money that he owns, he earns on his own. The first paycheck. I worked for it. He's been born with a silver spoon. He's been fed with a silver spoon. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't have to earn anything. But you know what? Oy, when he makes that first minor killing on the stock market. Oy, yeah, yeah. Kemosha ore, as it's sweet lechon, somebody from the house of the king, kashe yarviyah the mistle, when he will earn in business. And you know what that, how precious that is? Yotem yikol machmad enav, greater than any other desire. I finally did something for myself. Myself. V'zeh mechuvan divrei hanavi, and he says, this is the meaning. What a beautiful pshat in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'hoya locho Hashem l'or olam, God will be to you an eternal light. Remember that radio show on WEBD? I think it was Sunday. The Eternal Light.
This is only for those over 90. It's not for you. Remember that? I think it came after the Yiddish philosoph. Okay? W-E-P-P. So the... the eternal light. V'hayashem l'cha, God will be to you an eternal light. V'elokayich l'tifarteich. And your God will be your majesty. There are two names of God that I use here. First part of the pasuk, when it talks about God being the eternal light, it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the name of God with the four great letters. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That represents God who appears in all his brilliance. Elohim always means God who is in the background there. You don't see him. For that matter, the wise men of Karbala say Elohim, the gematria, the numerical value of Elohim is ha-teva, nature. When God does not appear in all of his brilliance, but no, he's in the background. So the Navi is saying when it's Elohim that's working, then it's going to be Tifartech or your glory. You will be seen by the nations of the world as the great warriors, because the Rebbeinu has taken a back seat. This is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. Perush. He explains the pasuk in Yeshayahu. The shame Havaya, the name Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's how we say it. Shmura Shemore, that tells us Al Hanhagah, he said, when God is acting in a miraculous fashion, Zehi Yelchol Or Olam, that will be an eternal light for you. Velokecha, but when he is functioning in the background, unseen as Elokecha, Shezeh Moreh, that teaches us Al Koach Kol HaKochot HaTiviim, the God who controls all of the might, the natural might of the world. Zeh Yeh LeTifartecha, that's going to be for your glory. Shegam BaHanhoga HaTivis Tatzliach VeTeitzei Ki Gibor V'Yom Krav, that even when things are working according to the normal nature, that there's nothing out of the ordinary that's taking place, you are going to emerge as a mighty warrior on the day of battle. That's what Tavisla was saying here. In Natal Titeit Ha'am Hazeb Yadidabeshon. Do me a favor. Let's do this in the natural order of things. Our army is going to go out and we're going to fight. We're going to get that Shifcha back. Vayishma, God understood. Vayishma Hashem, because you saw God listen precisely to the words of Israel. Because the fact is, that precisely was his intention. The 40 years in the Midbar must come to an end. The Jewish people, you don't live forever on miracles. You have to get into Eretz Yisrael, you have to plant, you have to plow, you have to build, you have to raise an army, you have to do all of the things that nations do in the course of building themselves up. That's what you have to do. And therefore, Chevre, that's exactly what I planned for you. Go out there, fight them. And they brought back the captive. That our soldiers should bring back the three. Otherwise, I can't even think of what a terrible nightmare this can be. It already is. That's the first story. Three psukim. An amazing, amazing story. And the Neshe Chochmer, the Simcha Kodesh, he takes out of it the real meaning and significance of it all. Next six psukim. Vayisu Mehor HaHor, the journey from Hor HaHor. Hor HaHor is the place where Aaron HaKohen died. They went Derech Yamsuf along the
the road toward Yamsuf Lizbov. At Eretz Edom, they are going to march around Eretz Edom, the land of Edom, which means that, in a sense, at this particular moment, they are moving backward. Yamsuf, that was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. They're moving again toward Yamsuf, but they're going to turn north soon. Vatikzar nefesh ha'om baderech. Vatikzar nefesh ha'om baderech. How did they translate that? And the spirit of the people grew short on the way. A very important phrase. Vatikzar nefesh ha'om baderech. The soul of the people, tikzar, they couldn't take it. There's going to be a big Rashi. We may have a chance to learn it, may not. That the tikzar of Rashi explains sometimes the tzavas are that great that like the heart, you can't contain it. It's like it presses on you. They are in great pain. And Rashi says that baderech is the reason why they are in pain. It doesn't mean that they were stressed out while on the road. They were stressed out because of the road. Because all of a sudden, it seems to them as though they're moving back to 40 years earlier. They don't want to do that. They want to move ahead. Vatikzar nefesh ha'om baderech. Vayedaber ha'om Elokim u'Moshe, and their response, they spoke against God and Moshe, and they said, Lama ha'elitunu u'Mitzrayim. This is the 40th year. 40 years have passed already. And they're still back to their old tricks. Lama, why did you take us up out of Egypt? Lomus Bamidba, you took us out so we should die in the desert. Ki ein lechem ve'ein magim, there's no bread, there's no water. The nashenu kotzok, ba'lechem ha'klokel. And we can't take that light bread that we're eating, the man. Now obviously they can't be serious what they're saying over here. They can't at all be serious. Because remember, earlier in the parasha, after Miriam dies, there's no water. And there's the whole difficult parasha of May Meriva, where Moshe hits the rock, should have spoken to the rock. The end is they have water. They can't really be serious when they say Ein Mayim. They can't be serious when they're saying Ein Lechem. They're getting Lechem and Ashamayim every day. But there's something that's bothering them here, and we don't know yet what that is. But they're complaining. They are complaining bitterly. They speak against God and against Moshe. Vayishalach Hashem ba'am et hanachoshim hasrafim. What's the translation here? God sent the fiery serpents against the people, and they bit the people. Vayinashchu etam, they bit them. Serpents, poisonous snakes came out and attacked the people. The fella. Vayomas Omrav Yisrael, and many died. Vayavavon Moshe, people came to Moshe and they said, Chotam, we sinned. Ki dibarnu b'Hashem avavu, because we spoke against God and you. It's Palel Hashem, please pray to God for your Seri Alenot HaNochash, and then remove the snakes from our midst, by Palil Moshe Ba'anam. And Moshe, though they had attacked him unfairly, he prays for them. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, God said to Moshe, Asei lecha sarof, make unto you a serpent, the simotar nesen, place it on a pole. Anyone who will be bitten, and will see that serpent on the pole, and he will die. Of course, what symbol does the world get from this?
What did I say? Die? You listen to me. You listen to me. Whoever sees it will live. They're listening. The symbol of a doctor or medicine is the serpent on the pole. And anybody who's going to look at it is going to live. Vayas Moshe Nechash Nechoshes, Moshe made a serpent out of copper, by Yisimeo al Anes, and he put it on the pole. Vayah. And what happened was, Kimashach Anochosh Epish, if a snake would bite a man, then he bit on the Nechash Nechoshe Vachai, and he would look at the Nechash, this serpent of copper, Vachai, and he would live. What a strange story. I think the previous story of three psukim, we understand a great deal better than we understand this one. But in order to make it easier to understand, first of all, we have to know the meaning of a word. And here is Rav Shamshon Fowler Hirsch, in different occasions and different places. It makes a difference if we want to understand a lot of psukim in Torah. And not everybody gets it, but Rav Shamshon Fowler Hirsch did get it. Pasuk 8 says, Pasuk 6, Vav. Vayishalach Hashem ba'am. Vayishalach Hashem ba'am. What does the word Vayishalach mean? Anybody want to take a chance? Don't. There's another word that's similar, Vayishlach. But here it doesn't say Vayishlach, here it says Vayishalach. There's another word along the same lines. We have a parsha called Shlach. Shlach Lecho Anashim, send off the spies. Then we have another word, Shalach et Ami v'ya'avduni. Moshe tells Paro, Shalach et Ami. And I've said in the past, and we'll explain it again now, the correct translation is, let my people go. Not as some modern chumashim have, send my people out. Shalach is like Vayishalach, and Shlach is like Vayishlach, and I'm going to explain. Rav Shamshon Fowler Hirsch says, when they sinned and they spoke against God and Moshe, God didn't have to rustle up a bunch of snakes, you know, send out the word to all the snakes, I want you to come here. No. You know what he did? He let them go. What does it mean he let them go? In Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, God took you through a desert. There was a place of Nohosh, Sorof, and Akrof. Snakes and scorpions. But you know what? For 40 years, nobody suffered from snake bite. You know why? Because the Rebbeinu had given instructions, you snakes, You just behave yourselves. You understand? Klal Yisrael are protected. They didn't even realize the extent to which they were being protected. When they spoke against God and Moshe, you know what God did? He removed the protection. And you know what happens if he removes the protection? So snakes will do what snakes usually do. They're going to come out and bite. So by Yishalach, it doesn't say by Yishlach, he sent them like he had to order up, you know, mobilize snakes for this great operation. No, they're there all the time. But some glitched on the lights all the time. They didn't open up their mouths. The divine protection is removed. Now wait a minute. Got to watch something here. Isn't this similar to the first story we learned? Aaron died, and the clouds of glory disappeared. So Amalek comes to attack. This people have spoken against God and Moshe. The protection disappears, is removed. So maybe even more human snakes than Amalek come. Real snakes. Watch. Turn over, please. The bottom of the page. I'm taking you back to Parshat Noach over here. I'm going to read it. Watch. Vayehi miketz arboim yom. The end of 40 days. Vayiftach Noach et chalon ha-teva. Number 6. Start at the bottom. Noach opened the window of the ark. Asher oso. Vayishalach et ha-orei. Do you know what it says? Vayishalach. Doesn't mean he sent out the raven. It's the same word as it says here. Vayishalach et ha-nachashim. He opened the window. The raven flew out. He didn't have to send him. Vayetzi otzol v'shov v'yevoshot hamayim ha'oretz. And he kept flying back and forth until the earth became dry. Vayishalach, again, the same word. He let the dove go. Lidot ha'kala alayim, to see if the waters have become easier. Al pnei adoma. V'lomotzo ha'yona. Manoach l'kach ragla. The dove didn't find any place for her feet to rest. But Tosha Veloha Lateva, she returned into the ark. Kimayim Alpnei Koros, because there was water all over the earth. Vayishlach Yado. Not Vayishav. Noach is intentionally stretching out his hand in order to bring her into the Teva. Here we see clearly the difference between Vayishlach and Vayishalach. Vayishlach is an act of sending. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Yaakov sent angels to his brother Esau. Vayishlach is an act. Vayishalach is the absence of an act. I just let things go. Therefore, God is not asking of Paro. Please, Paro, send my people out. Give me a lay down me. You just let them go. Shalach. Shlach would be to send. Shalach is let go. Vayishalach et ha-nechoshim ha-serafim. There's another fascinating thing that I found over here. First story and second story. When this occurred to me, I don't think you could have bought me for $1 million. Maybe. Don't test me. Anyway. I did the work for you. In the first three psukim, story number one, exclusively the term to describe the Jewish people is Yisrael. Kipoy Yisrael derech ha-torim, vayilochem Yisrael, vayidan Yisrael neder Hashem, vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. Second story, six psukim, exclusively ha'am. Vatitzar nefesh ha'am v'adev, vayitaveh ha'am. Okay? Vayishalach Hashem ba'am, vayinashu et ha'am. Vayomas Amra, Vayavon Va'am, Vayipalel Moshe Ba'ad Ha'am. The difference always is the following. Yisrael represents the proud, strong Jew who identifies fully with everything that is Jewish. The already are of a lesser Matkega than Yisrael. Yisrael would never have said what the Am said. To speak against God and to speak against Moshe. Two different groups, and they responded completely differently. The response of Yisrael was, give them into my hand. We're going to bring that captive back. Oh, people. The Am. Still had not learned, they were, had not yet become what they ultimately would become, which is Israel. What was their problem? So here I found something very fascinating. There was a great Jew, Rabbi Zion Fuhrer, who was Rabbi Moshavar Yishuv Bab Galim, I think. Yes. Anyway, he asks about this story. What do you mean they said they don't have water and they don't have bread? But they had water. And they had bread. And why did they refer to the man that was everything, the most amazing kind of food? The most probably... Most certainly, there was never in history a healthier food. No trans fats and no cholesterol. No who knows what. It was the perfect food. So what are they complaining about? Watch this. What were they complaining about? And then the fact that they referred to the man as lechem hakloqel, light. You know, what is it? Like, einan karl, what are all of Berman's breads and animals, how he also has, you know, there's karl, kale, kalot. What do they mean when they refer to the bread as the one as lechem hakloqel, or lechem hakloqel? So he says the following. Beautiful. It's going to start sounding familiar. The problem with the man after all these years was it was too easy. It was cow. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't have to work for it. Is this beginning to sound like the Meshech Chochma? You know what? A person reaches a point in life, I want to do something for myself. I want to get out there. I want to plow. I want to plant. I want to do. So he says the following. Gemara says, Adam rotze bekav shelo, a man wants something that belongs to him, and that he worked for, and that he earned, more than asor kavim, metisha kavim shel chaveru, more than 9 measures from his friend. And Rashi says, kav shelo chaviv olav al yidesha omal bahen. Rashi says on that Gemara, a kav, a measure of grain, for which I worked, and I brought it out of the ground, is more beloved to a person than anything else. Why did it happen now? This is the generation that's on its way into Eretz Yisrael. This is a generation that was never enslaved. And if they were in Mitzrayim, they were little children. They did not experience the pain and the suffering of being enslaved. The Jews who came out of Mitzrayim, we suffered enough, we don't want to work for anything. Just, we need to recover from the terrible suffering of Mitzrayim. But there's a new generation now. This is a generation that sort of is chafing at the bit. This is a generation that, 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 ready to get on with their lives. About time to do something. We have to go out there and this moment, it's wonderful, it's great. Don't get me wrong, God, don't get me wrong. But we want to do for ourselves. So they refer to it as Lechem HaKlokel, saying it just comes too easily. And anything that comes too easily loses its real value. For that matter, it doesn't have value. That's why the Gemara, in fact, says, that's why Rav Shimon ben Yochai said that there are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people, and all of them came through suffering. And the suffering means you have to work to earn it. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. You have to work toward it. You have to do something. You have to see the fruit of your own labor. So the generation that went out of Mitzrayim was perfectly happy. They have to recover from the trauma of who knows how much terrible suffering in Mitzrayim. It is a new generation. This new generation needs to get out there and do this. Why does God send? Why does He send snakes? Why does He send snakes? So of course, Chazal and others say they spoke Lashon Hara about God and Moshe. So the Nachash represents the one who speaks Lashon Hara. But it's more than that. How did God curse the serpent, the snake in Gan Eden? Huh? You shall go al gechon chatelech. You will go on your belly. Offer tochel. You're going to eat the dust of the earth. And what was the klola, the curse to man? With the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. The fact is that the curse to man was his greatest blessing. But the curse to the Nachash was, wherever you go, you're going to have your food. Offer tochel. It's all there. You have to work for anything. There is nothing to strive for. Go schlep around. All right, see the reasons that the Rebbeinu gave him that curse, because he didn't want to hear from this Nachash. If the Nachash would have to go scrounging for food, he turned heavenward and said, Rebbeinu, I don't want to hear from you. Have all the offer you want and eat it. Just leave me alone. The Nachash represents to them the idea that, you know, you have to know how to speak. Another very important message over here is, you have a complaint, and this is something that we can all learn. You have a complaint, you have to know how to express it. One of our serious faults in the interrelationship between communities in Eretz Yisrael is we don't know how to talk. We don't know how to converse. Shoyim! Kaifa Be'idja! No. You have to learn how to communicate. Klal Yisrael didn't know how to communicate. They didn't know how to communicate. So he says further, it's unbelievable how much it sounds like the Meshech Chachma. He says, the little bit that a person achieves by the work and the sweat of his brow, matok l'chiko shel adam le'ein shir, is sweet to one's palate, sweeter than anything else that's given to him. And therefore, because they complained about this, so he let them know that, you know, this is the kind of talk that you hear from a Nachash. So it means like this, we take these two stories, watch these two stories. In both of these stories, their protection is removed. First story, the Onam, the clouds of glory, along comes Amalek.
Second story, God's divine protection of the Jewish people is removed. But what they're also really learning over here is you go through life and you don't have a clue how many things could have happened every day. When we say in Modim, Al Nisecho Va'al Niflotecho, Shedachol Yom Iman, Ere Vavoga Vitzahara, that little piece of davening is awesome. Modim et Shlon Esrei. The miracles and the wonders that you do for us every day, what doesn't happen to us, we don't know about. Boy, how much could happen? Us living here in the present day world, if we wouldn't have divine protection over here, what are you talking about? There's a murderous, terror-filled Arab world out there all around us. Who knows, you know? Yeah, I didn't mention Jerusalem Post yet this morning. That's right, we gotta get it in. They're concerned, the government is concerned about what's happening in Iraq. Iraq is disappearing from the face of the earth. It's exploding, imploding. Terrorist groups of all sorts are taking over. It's Logan Oman, what can happen over there? Who knows what the next step that these groups are going to take? And what great power they've amassed in a few months. It's low human numbers going on over there. And here we are this little island of tranquility. Often they have such tranquility. Surrounded in a world that is absolutely in turmoil. It's so meaningful. On Yisecho Pa'am Niflotecho, the miracles and the wonders that you do for us every day. They didn't realize that. It didn't occur to them that they're going through a midbar every day. That is a place of snakes and serpents and scorpions, and nobody's getting bit. Right? Who knows how many other attempts were made to kidnap young people. Who knows how much we were saved from? In a sense, the two stories are what set the stage for Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael. It sets the stage for Klal Yisrael's interaction with the nations of the world. Parashat Chukat is the first time in 40 years that the Jewish people come into contact with other nations in the world. They had been on their own in the desert for 40 years. All of a sudden they come up against an Edom. They want to just pass through Edom. Just let us pass through. And all of a sudden they find out that these people that they haven't seen in 200-300 years despise them. They haven't seen a Jew in hundreds of years. They despise them. They come up against Sichon, and oh, it's unbelievable. They're coming face to face with the world. And all of a sudden, back then, they begin to realize that this world is a pretty dangerous place, especially for Jews. And therefore, there may be two approaches. One, of course, is the approach Im Nosson Titein et Ha'am Hazeh Biyadi. The first story is the story of a Yisrael that stands up to take its fate into its own hands. With, they pray, Im Nosson Titein, you give them to our hands. The second is the story of those who are not ready, not fully ready to take on that kind of a responsibility. They're going to learn that if they're going to be on, they're not going to make it. They have to become Yisrael. Alright. You hear that some of us now, that we should hear good news.
Amen.
Yeshua.
I thought I left. I didn't.